That has to do with similarity. It's not the similarity of Radha and Krishna or the similarity of the 2 months that we're talking about. So it may just be that the definition given in Kavya Prakash is not used. He takes it otherwise, Kavi Karnapur. No? Unless I don't understand, it seems like he equates sahacharata with sadrishya, sahacharyam. Sorry. Sahacharyam. That's not sadrishyata. Well, sadrishyam is here in the parentheses. This must be the commentary. Vastutas tu sahacharata sadrishyam. Actually, accompaniment is similarity. Because it's usually only similar things that are seen together. But that's not really true, is it? You can see dissimilar things together. And maybe whoever said that, I don't think Kavi Karnapur is following it. Yeah.
Like we had this Madhu Madhava, and in that Madhu Madhava.
Right, what's the similarity there?
Both are masas.
Well, what about Radha and Krishna?
Both are
deities?
Both are lords and they're both are people there.
Okay.
Enjoyers.
How about Madhava and Sita? They're similar. They're both deities. And the same similarity applies to Madhava and Sita. But you don't find them together usually.
I mean, these vyanjakas, bhedakas, they are used to resolve things that are in usage. So, is it that we can manufacture things based on these qualities?
No. I mean,
things that are there.
They only come into play when we need to make pick among multiple meanings, yes. Okay. I don't really see that example that the Kavi Karnapur gives dealing with similarity, but. Anyway, the next one is Viroda. It says it means two possible things. It could mean just not being present in the same place, or the mentality of killing and destroying, you know, enmity, desire to do violence to somebody. That's Viroda. You really want to destroy somebody. That's Viroda. So, what example of two things that just aren't in the same place ever are shadow and sunlight. You know, there's a viroda in terms of not being in the same place. And there's a viroda between, who's this? Rama and Arjuna. That's Kartavirya Arjuna. I'm sorry, Parashurama and Kartavirya Arjuna. They are in the same place on occasion. But they want to kill each other. That's a different kind of viroda. Okay. Artha, I didn't really understand, but it's the commentary on Kavya Prakash explains it as prayojanam, purpose. And there's a further gloss on that. A purpose that is not achievable otherwise. For example, worship Stanu for the destruction of material existence. Well, you have a purpose of destroying material existence. The tritiya is expressing prayojanam here, or hetu, right? Hetu in the sense of prayojanam. The chaturthi, rather. Bhavat chide. What's the karaka there? Not a text you have. This is notes given to me by Bharat Ram, but stanum bhava chide bhaja. For. No. Chid, it must be chid, and chide is chaturthi. Well, there's no, I don't see that. For the purpose of. Yeah, it's chid. I'm sorry? No, but what's the sutra for that? What is it? Yadartam, okay, purpose. The word artha is used there. The word artha is used, but here we get the explanation of artha doesn't mean meaning, it doesn't mean value, it means purpose. Now, The prayojana is to get your material existence destroyed. Well, nothing else except for Lord Shiva among the possible stanus can do that. So the dead log, you know, we rule that out because the only other stanu, Shiva, can actually do that, can destroy your material existence. Because of the particular purpose, it has to be Lord Shiva. Of course, the sentence is expressing purpose. That's what pins it down. If you don't know the purpose, then if you don't know a purpose, then purpose won't help you. If you don't have a purpose, it won't help you. Prakaranam is the next one. It means the state of being situated in the mind of the speaker or the hearer, or both. It's what the speaker and the hearer are thinking about. That's the prakaranam. It's the context. You know, they're thinking of the whole story. The speaker is thinking of telling the whole story. He's got a whole story to tell, not just unless he's a pedantic word juggler, he's interested in telling a story, not just using fancy words for no reason. He wants to tell a story, and that's what he has in mind, getting the message across, telling the story. And the hearer, maybe he's hearing just a proper hearer is hearing to receive the story, not just to analyze the words grammatically or something else. That's possible, but that's not real hearing. Proper hearing is to try to catch the story, the message. So the story, the message, the prakarana, is present in the mind both of the hearer and speaker. Well, so when in a certain context someone says, the deva knows about this, there must have been a question before that. You know, what's the answer to such and such question? And the response is, well, the deva knows. Well, we just have to know the story. This one sentence out of a story. We understand the whole context of the story, hopefully by reading the whole story. We know that the one person is telling the other person that you know the answer. Why are you asking me? That we know from the context of the story. He's not telling him only God knows or Lord Shiva knows. That's not what the story is. So according to this, the context of the story, we understand it means the person who's being talked to. Oh, you know, the deva knows my mind. That's a statement. But that means you know my mind. Okay? The story is arranged in such a way that's what fits the context. Then linga, well, it's a certain quality or a certain characteristic that rules out other possible meanings in terms of a relationship, but some relationship other than some yoga. Physical connection. If there's a physical connection, then it's called samyoga is the factor. But if it's some other relationship, we call that factor linga. For example, samavaya relationship could be used. If we say kupito makara dvaja is angry. Well, makara dvaja can mean Cupid, or it can mean the ocean, or it can refer to an actual flag, the flag with Makara on it. But it doesn't make sense. When we talk about anger inhering in Makara Dvaja, that only makes sense when Makara Dvaja is Cupid. Cupid can get angry, ocean's not going to get angry, flag's not going to get angry. Okay? We're not talking about Varuna, we're talking about the physical ocean. Yes. Refer to what?
Ocean.
I'm sorry.
Ocean,
I don't know. Nakaradraja is also a name, because Varuna also has such a flag. He's called Nakaradraja. Okay.
Because in the ocean,
not
the Makaras
Varuna,
live.
The ocean.
The Makaras live in the ocean.
Okay, then Dwaja has some other meaning there?
The ocean who is marked with Makaras.
Okay.
Actually, even Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a gloss on Makaradvaja as ocean.
Okay, Vishwanath Chakravarti says it. Sometimes
Samudra, he says.
Samudra. Okay, now another factor is what's said in slightly different words. Shabdas yanyasya sanidhi. The proximity of some other word. Well, some other word particularly, which has one definite meaning, which isn't also ambiguous. And that word is in Samanadhikaranyam. You know what Samanadhikaranyam is? Yes. What is it? You don't know what it is. You do. Being in the same place?
Yeah.
No, it's a grammatical term.
What? Location.
No, it's not. It's not location. It means that that two different words refer to the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's location. The quality of that and quality of that are present in the same object.
Okay, in that sense, yes. So it really means the relationship of a vishesha and a visheshana. The visheshana and visheshana will be in Samanadhikaranyam. Okay.
Then there's the opposite.
That's Vyadhikaranyam. That's opposite. We're not dealing with that here. So it's a word with a single definite meaning that is in Samanadhikaranyam with the ambiguous word, and it helps you decide what meaning is applicable. Okay. Samartyam is causation. Something is capable of causing something. That's samartyam. Maruna matta kokilaha. And capability. But capability in the sense of capable to cause the effect. The effect here is the intoxication. And it says in this commentary that we should understand madhu to be the spring season. So the spring season makes the kokilas intoxicated. I guess he's saying that honey can't make them intoxicated. Despite someone's experience that they do get intoxicated by honey, our commentator here is of the opinion that only the spring season can make the kokila is intoxicated.
Skali yuga kokilas.
Yes?
No, we deal with skali yuga kokilas.
Okay.
So they get drunk sometimes.
Yeah. But that's okay, but that wasn't recognized by this author.
Prove your own question.
And the other. Yes?
Madhu could also mean. I've seen the glasses Madira. Madira means liquor, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
it can mean liquor.
Yeah,
but normally. Cuckoos don't drink wine. You know, they don't usually get access to it. I guess they would, and who knows? I mean, maybe it doesn't cause intoxication in cuckoos. Anyway, supposedly only, according to this commentary, only the spring is capable of doing this to cuckoos. And then let me finish the other half. The other half of the statement. The young girls are intoxicated by madhu. Or what was the word? Mata. Madhuna, yeah. Now, this commentary says it's the same madhu. The young girls are also intoxicated by the spring. That's not different. But the reason why it's the gopis is not, why the gopis are intoxicated by the spring is not because of capability. The gopis could be intoxicated by liquor or by honey. But it's not suitable. It doesn't fit the bhava. It is rasa lila, not a drinking match. So it's just not suitable to the pastime that the gopis are getting drunk on liquor. It must be that their entire, and it's, you know, springtime, time for the spring Rasa Leela, only that's appropriate. Even though theoretically they could get, if they drank enough honey, they could get intoxicated. The honey is capable of doing, but it's not suitable to the story. So that's the difference between samarthya and auchitya. Then the other three we don't need to. Bhagavan Prabhu says they're clear enough anyway. Desha, Kala, and Vyakti. Vyakti meaning gender. Okay, so that's it for these. Thank you.
This thing about the seasons, it seems that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that in his commentary.
What, in both cases, is it spring?
We said, Vashantasya Kulika Vadvor. And then he says, later on, he says, Natu Madhu Sabdasah Tantara Rupa Madhiraya.
Okay.
Yeah. This was. I don't remember it being said in the last class, but he says, Vashantasya means season.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just missed that. I didn't catch that, but therefore I wasn't sure. But Vishwanath does say that. I think having the microphone on this mat makes it fall over.
Oh.
They take the mat away.
The thing about the mat is it doesn't make an itching sound.
Oh, okay.
Because sometimes that happens in the mic.
Yeah.
Recording.
Okay.
All
right. Now he goes on to another topic. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We want to discuss also now how it was okay. How words that don't have meaning, just sound words, onomatopoeia, just are expressive of some sound, echoing a sound, how those can be used by a poet through vyanjana to assume a meaning and tell an idea. This is another process of vyanjana. By vyanjana, you can make words that don't have any meaning, you can give them a meaning. Here's the verse. Asam rasa vilasa lasya laharim aswadya vadyachalat tadik tadik iti prabhasha muraja sar swarnartakir nindati tenana garimadama iti muhu pata swarocharanat tasam honta jagupsate bhagavati vano vani cha ganakraman. Okay, let me try to do it literally first. When the gopis are tasting, relishing the waves of the dancing in the sport of the rasa dance, on the pretext of playing musical instruments and singing, vadya can mean both, singing and musical accompaniment, the muraja, which is the particular kind of mridanga that's used in the Rasleela, the muraja speaks ta-dik, ta-dik. That's just the sound of the beats that come out of them. Mridanga. You learn those syllables, but actually the mridanga supposedly makes those sounds. But they don't mean anything. But it says the muraja, by speaking ta-dik, ta-dik, is ridiculing the dancers of the heavenly planets. You can take it to mean ta-dik, to hell with those ladies. And then, te na na gani ma da ma. When you have an alapa in old music, Drupad and other styles, there's very often nonsense syllables. that are sung in the Alapa, like Te Na Na. But here the gopis say Te Na Na Garima Dharma. These are the supposedly meaningless words the gopis utter in their ecstasy while singing. Iti muhuk pata swarocharanat. By repeatedly singing their melodies with these syllables, Te Na Na Garima Dharma, what they're doing, what they're actually saying, they're condemning, alas, the divine words. No, they're divine words. These divine words of the gopis are condemning the style of singing of those dancers, dancing ladies in the heavenly planets. And we can interpret the meaningless words to mean Te Na Na Garima Dharma. They, that is nominative, plural, it's masculine because it's referring to the Gana Kraman, the sequences or the styles of their singing. So it's masculine, Te Na Na Garima Dharma. Their styles of singing are inferior in terms of various kinds of excellences. Now, when you measure the different possible excellences of singing, the singing of these girls from heaven is much inferior. Te Na Na Garima Dharma. But originally, those words are supposed to be meaningless. Anyway, a poet can do this by the power of suggestion, dvani, vyanjana. He can give meaning to meaningless words and create special effect. He's creating a dvani, and dvani is the life of poetry. It's not just word juggling, a trick. It's actually giving life to the poetry. Now, let's now investigate artanam vyanjakatvasya hetavaha. What are the causes of meanings, not words, but meanings? Particular words can generate vyanjana, but also the meaning of particular words, or the meaning of more than one word, or a whole sentence, or a whole story, the meaning of any part of the speech can generate vyanjana. We've been discussing that. So what are the causes of various kinds of meanings generating vyanjana? And we have literal meanings, figurative meanings, and suggested meanings. All of them can create suggestions. Suggestion can create further suggestion. Okay, now some specific causes for this happening are identified. Bodhavya Vaktri Prakriti Kaku Prakaranaik Saha. The Bodhavya, the Vaktri, the Prakriti, the Kaku, and the Prakarana. Bodhavya means the person who's being informed. Like all the way back in paragraph 17, there was a verse where Radharani is seeming to praise a gopi who has come back from going to the forest. And she said, "You took so much trouble, and you're covered with scratches from thorns." But actually, that gopi didn't go just to send a message, to bring a message from Radharani, but she ended up enjoying with Krishna. So there's suggested that Radharani is actually criticizing the gopi, getting angry at her. That's the vyanjana. And actually, there's further vyanjana. It's more complicated. There's vyanjana created by the vyanjana. Because we know, if we know the bigger context of the story, this was intentionally arranged by Radharani. She wanted the gopi to do this. So she's pretending to praise her, and then she's pretending to criticize her on top of that, But actually, the criticism is a is pretend. She's actually satisfied because it was her arrangement in the first place. All of this multiple suggestion is there. What causes that suggestion? The Bodhavya. Who's being informed here? Who's being talked to? If we understand it's a gopi, for whom Radharani wanted to arrange that Krishna enjoy with her. She's angry at Krishna. She's not going to go get enjoyed by Krishna. She wants to send this other gopi instead. If we know that story, then we know what kind of gopi she's talking to. And so the Bodhavya, or the person, the identification of the person who's being talked to, is the cause of the generation by the meaning of the whole sentence. It's the cause of the generation of suggestion. Is that understandable? Okay. Then the other causes, the Vapshri, the special nature, it's actually Bodhavya Vaishishtya, the special nature of the person being spoken to, and the special nature of the speaker. In this same case, let me see if it's the same case. Yeah, the speaker is Srimati Radharani, and she's the most excellent of all. She has all excellences. How is that? Let me see. How is that the reason for the suggestion? Because Radharani has arranged all this for her girlfriend out of affection for her. Therefore, no, I'm sorry, that's Prakriti. I don't see an example for Vakra Vishayam Prakriti Vaishishyam Prakarana Vishishyam Cha. Vakri Shri Radha, Sacha Sarvashreshtatva Rupa Vaishishyavati. That's all it says, is that the speaker is Shri Radha, and she is specially characterized by all excellences. But I don't know what to make of that. Anyway, the fact that it's Radharani speaking helps generate the suggestion. If it was someone else speaking, it wouldn't have the same effect. Yes. The person who's being informed, being talked to, and the Vakri is the person who's doing the talking. Knowing who those two different people are, both of those facts help generate suggestions. No, there could be other examples. Many other examples. This is one example. And then the Prakriti, the nature, the character of a person. Like Radharani, we know that she has a very affectionate relationship with this gopi. She's not inimical to her. So we can identify the actual suggestion with the basic fact that she's actually very affectionate to this gopi. No matter what she seems to be saying, we know what her real mood is. So that helps generate the suggestion. And then the kaku. Kaku is a special, plaintive tone of voice. You know, when you're desperate, and you say, can you please help me pick this up? You have no hope of accomplishing it. You're just desperately begging for help. That tone of voice is called kaku. And when kaku is used, of course you don't see the kaku in print, but when it's recited, spoken with kaku, then that helps make a suggestion. When someone's statement has that plaintive tone in it, that suggests something very often. Of course, it's not automatically that you can create good poetry just by speaking in plaintive tones. They have to do it expertly. But it can be a cause in the hands of an expert poet. The plaintive tone of voice can be a cause of suggestion. Example. Kaku. I'm looking for a kaku. Well, here, this is the actual verse. Give me an example of how kaku creates or the cause of vyanjana. It's another Prakrit verse. O I ja si johi vivinom viktam getuna kusama ma anam sumuhi pacha amisasi tumam nakevalam ma anena punena. Sanskrit equivalent of that is O yi yasi yahi vipinam viktam grihidva kusama bhajanam sumuki pachagamishyati tvam nakevalam bhajanena purnam. So, if you want to go to the forest, go ahead. Take your empty flower basket and go. And I can tell you that you're going to come back with not just your flower basket full. Okay, what's being suggested there? That the gopi is going to come back from the forest full, not just with flowers in her basket, but all her desires will be filled by meeting Krishna there. Now, what creates that suggestion? The special plaintive tone in which Radharani is speaking. She's speaking in an emphatic, plaintive tone. That suggests the special suggested meaning. That generates the meaning, the dwani. Is that okay?
Does it say that this kaku is...
tone of voice?
Word na?
It's not the word, it's kaku can be applied to a single word.
Yeah,
usually you don't say a whole sentence in kaku. Yeah, is that said in the commentary? Yeah, nankaku. It's implied, it's suggested, it's implied, because we don't see it, there's no mark on the paper, but we can understand by logic that there must be a kaku on the word na. Yeah, that word is expressed in a plaintive tone. Not only, I don't know, I'm not going to imitate the gopis. Okay, and then there are also some other factors that can generate dwani. One of them is special place, speciality of the place. Another Prakrit verse. Ja'unasi adasisira pamala vanipa onadhu aithala agunga jaha vali darabali ganna pekanti tam desam. Sanskrit, Yamuna Shikira Shishira Kamalavano Pavana Duta Kisalayagra Yatra Vali Grihapali Donya Prekshanti Tam Desham. Well, the verse says that place which is cool by the water spray from the Jamuna. In that place in which the tips of the creepers duta are blown about in the wind in the gardens, in the lotus gardens, in that place where there are many huts of the I guess the farmers. Vali griha pali. What does vali mean there? Oh, no. It's a special kind of construction. Vali bi is a special kind of beam, wooden beam that's used in making a hut. Jai Shri Vimai Nitai. And so there, in that place, there are many villages with houses made with these vallabhi rafters or beams. Danya Prakshanti Tamdesha. Only very fortunate people can see that place. Okay, what's being suggested there and how? Well, the speciality of the place is suggesting something. By the special praise of that place, it is being suggested, the idea that a particular gopi is expressing her heartfelt desire, please, in that place, arrange for me to enjoy with Krishna. That's the suggestion. It is generated by the speciality of the place. The place is Vrindavan. If it was, you know, Kanpur, then it wouldn't do the same thing.
It seems like it's only a fortunate person goes there. It seems like the fortunate.
Yeah, but who's fortunate?
Yeah, that seems like a vyanjana, like who's fortunate goes there.
Well, okay, but that we're not discussing in terms of what does danya mean. You could do a further analysis about the meaning of danya, but here Kavi Karnavar is discussing the idea that's suggested by the whole verse. The idea that please arrange for me to meet Krishna in that place. It's such a nice place, and it happens to be Vrindavan, that's the right place to meet Krishna. So, because it's that particular place, that special place, because of the speciality of the place, what is being suggested, that's where I want you to arrange for me to meet Krishna. Okay. How the speciality of time generates vyanjana is shown in this example, also Prakrit. Enehim jalahara somoye ramani ja raana vallahita niadanta varidara gahiratara muhura gabhakuhara o. Sanskrit, idanim jaladara samaye vamaniyaratnavalabhya nipata dwari avari dara gabiratara mukara garba kuhara. Now, at this time, the gold-studded rafters of the huts are very attractive. At this time of the rain, of the clouds pouring down rain, jaladara samaye, there are there's water pouring down inside the huts. They're leaking. Kabira tara mukara garba kuhara, and there's holes in the huts, on the top of the huts, that are the birthplace of very deep sounds. It's very noisy. The water is falling in the huts from the holes in the top, and it's making a lot of noise. What's being suggested there? What's being suggested that this is not the right time to meet Krishna there? You know, we go to that hut, the water will be leaking in the hut. Maybe we can find someplace else. That's a suggestion. It's generated by the special time. This is rainy season, not the right time to go in these huts that don't have really covered roofs. Then the word adi is there in the list of causes, so we can imply some other cause. One extra cause is mentioned. Prasiddhi vaishishtyam. The speciality of what everybody who reads the verse already knows. Like, the verse says something, but it's assumed that the readers know some background information that isn't said. And that prasiddhi, the special nature of what everybody who's reading it already knows, that generates some suggestion. And the example is in Sanskrit. Kava kisalaya lilambuja nimilanon milanati kinya dakshinam akshimurare pidiyante muchite cha sindujaya. So this is passive, but I'll make it active. The daughter of the ocean, that's Lakshmi, is acting out the opening and closing of Lord Hari's right eye, of Murari's right eye. And she's doing it by a gesture. She's holding a lotus that she's playing with in her hand, and she's opening up and then closing and then opening up the lotus, which is a gesture to suggest the opening and closing of Krishna's right eye. Okay, does everybody know what Krishna's right eye is? The sun. So, yeah, what's suggested is that what she's talking about is the rising and setting of the sun. I don't know the context, why that's important to talk about. But what's being suggested is that what she's gesturing about is the rising and setting of the sun. And that can only be generated when everybody who reads this understands that Krishna's right eye is the sun. That's just information that everybody's supposed to have. At least all the connoisseurs of this poetry should know that Krishna's right eye means the sun. That's prasiddhi. Yes? Microphone?
So Murari is closing and opening the right eye the sun is setting and rising. Is that compared to that?
Yeah. But Murari, she's imitating Murari by opening and closing the lotus. She's imitating Krishna or Murari opening and closing his eye. And that's supposed to represent the rising and setting of the sun. Why she's talking about or gesturing about the rising and setting of the sun, that we'd have to know the story. But it works if those who read it know that the right eye of Krishna is equivalent to the sun. You have to be careful when writing poetry that your readers are going to know the things you assume. When you're writing anything, prose or poetry, don't assume that your readers know something and then find out they don't know it, because then they won't know what you're talking about. Yes?
So in that verse 46-47, the Bodhavya, Vaktura and Prakriti are described with examples, and the rest, Kaku, Desha, Kala are given in the next
other examples.
Next verses, next yes. Karikas.
Separate examples given for them.
Okay.
Many examples could be given, but he's satisfied with giving just one or a few examples. He doesn't want the book to go on forever, so he usually just gives one or two examples or three examples about each thing. Okay, we're going to stop. This is the end of the second chapter, so it's a good place to stop. Well, there are 10 chapters altogether. The fifth chapter, which is about rasa, is very long, but it tells things that we already have heard from Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, or if you've read Bhaktisandarbha, or rather Preetisandarbha. But anyway, we'll read it. But it's covering same ground that's already there in Bhaktivedanta Sindhu. Why not? I don't see why we should. I mean, rasa is the real, the atma of poetry. Why should we skip over it? Dhwani is the life air, but the soul is rasa. And the purpose, the value of dhwani is that it suggests rasa, because rasa cannot be expressed literally. You can't just say bhava, gopi bhava, gopi bhava. That doesn't evoke gopi bhava. I know some will try that, but just saying the words doesn't express it. You have to use dhwani. That's why poets are useful, because they can evoke rasa by using dhwani. Okay? Yes.
General question.
Yes.
In which sense the body is poet? That doesn't mean that he explicitly writes poems? Or
well, it depends what you mean by it.
Yeah,
he might be a professional poet, or he might just be, you know, very expressive in the way he talks. Even though he never studied the theory of poetry, he just has a gift of gab. So he's, in a sense, a poet, but not a professional poet.
This can be poetry, lots of poetry.
Yeah, it can be a natural quality. The bija might be there, but it might not be trained up. And the person may never have sat down and tried to actually write a poem. But he's poetic. That means he has some bija, he has some natural talent in the way he talks. Okay, yes.
So, poet can express this when he can he express it just by writing, like, not necessarily a poem, but in the form of a description or like.
Well, what's a poem? If there's 20, then it's a poem. Even if it's in prose, technically, it's poetry. If there's 20, by definition. And even if it's in verse and follows many rules of poetry, but there's no 20, it's not poetry. Definition of poetry is that which expresses 20. Okay, we'll stop here. You want something to say?
Well, many of the texts are not transliterated. Many of the chapters are not transliterated.
Yeah.
So.
Anybody want to transliterate them?
Oh. Okay, if we maybe scan the book?
Yes, you can scan the book. That's
scan
a good
book.
That's a good idea.
We can, I don't. Yeah.
But it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Someone has to do it. Anybody want to do it, go ahead.
We'll pay you 5 rascoulas a day. Especially when you do that chapter on Russo.
Okay, you might be intoxicated by the winter season if you do that, if you take 5 rascoulas a day. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Kavi Karna Purki Jai.